Hello, you're listening to Springs of Zion podcast. My name is Angela, and I welcome you to my podcast today. And I am just so thankful for my new followers. It's very encouraging on this journey to the promised land when I have listeners. Thank you. So we are in the wilderness on my blog and during this podcast. If you want the transcript of what I'm speaking of, you can go to fruitsofhisvine.blogspot.com. Today's word is feast in the wilderness. I think there's two parts to this. So the first part, it starts with Romans 8, verse 9. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you're not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you're not of Him. I mean, God, isn't this neat? This verse explains our spirit must be joined with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? In order to hear from God. And what we're discovering is, as we become accustomed to our new life as sojourners in our wilderness, just like the Israelites, we move with God. They moved with the cloud of God above them. And when that cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud started moving again, they put away their tents, packed up everything, followed the cloud during the day. And when the cloud stopped, they'd unpack their tents and stay a while. They were sojourning in the wilderness, and we do this by the Spirit. We may not be physically moving our home, but we move as we talk to people, as we interact, as we live our life, as we go to work. The cloud of God is with us. I love it. I covered the sojourner journey, I guess is how you'd say it, in a podcast, a few episodes, I think it was like March, first part of March. If you want to go and listen to discover whether you have a sojourner heart or not. Paul calls man's spirit the inward man in all of the epistles he writes. And Peter called man's spirit the hidden man of the heart. And he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God, of a great man, an eternal spirit price. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. In many places in the Bible, it speaks of the heart. It is speaking of the spirit, really. So the spirit is the real man, right? It will help you in your believing and in your faith. So whenever in the New Testament that you see the word heart, replace it with spirit, and you'll get a clear picture of what the Bible is actually saying. It's talking about the spirit of man that is born again. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. God made it clear the reason he wanted to take his people into the wilderness was so that they could feast with him. He said, release my people, he's talking about Egypt, so they may feast with me in the wilderness. That's right. A feast is waiting for you and I. Let's keep going, because let's find out what this feast is about. Because we're about to discover our feast is with who? Jesus. He's our healer. And if we seek the tree that makes our bitter water sweet, our sins are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for your cross at Calvary. This is a place where we become fully aware, way deep within our soul, that Jesus was crucified for our full healing. We feel an inner witness within our spirit to this fact. A fact that we cannot deny, that our Savior's sacrifice made our way in the wilderness. Our bodies, our memories, our emotions, they can be healed in this place. This is a place of truth. If we sit in the presence of God to receive the revelation of His tree, the cross of Jesus Christ. This is our sweetened revelation of the true identity of the cross. You see, it's when our thoughts are bitter, we cast them in the cross of our attitude. We cast the cross into our attitude. If our body is broken and sick, cast the cross into your weaknesses. Our deliverance of healing comes when we see and believe the abundant provisions of the cross within our spirit. And the more you see and truly believe, the freedom of faith begins to emerge like a bright light within us. The more you see, the more you want to see, and the more you want to obey, and the more things that you give up. And it's just a natural process to follow God's ways and His commandments. Ephesians 1 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins, according to the riches of his grace." Because of Christ's blood, God is able to forgive us of our sins because Jesus took our punishment. I have spoken about this before. I really do understand that process, but we need to feel it. We need to digest it. We need to be in grief for what Jesus did in order to lay everything down. I want to suggest a novel I read, Dr. Sharon Nesbitt. She has a profound book. It's super powerful. And I think I cried all the way through it. It's called Scarlet Stream Unveiling the Mystery. It truly gave me an understanding of the power of the blood. She's an anointed writer. So let's get back to Israel. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, Mount Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing of the land of Egypt." So they have only been in the wilderness 15 days. Granted, we don't know what a day is in the Bible. "They left the springs of Elm with a difficult path, because the Israelites had stayed in Elm for a while, and it had figs and dates and pomegranates, and it was just an abundant, fruitful place. And it had 12 springs of water, Exodus 15. "Then the children of Israel came to Elm, where they were 12 springs of water, 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters." It's the word Elim, E-L-I-M, is plural, and it means mighty ones or the strong ones. And they had 70 tall, strong palm trees there that represented the victory, and 12 refreshing pools of water to renew their strength, right, in their wilderness. I believe this is a picture of God's people walking in resurrection power. You see, this happens when we're completely changed by the regeneration, that we are dead to the old life. Our new life is in Jesus, and we can no longer love the things of the earth. Our heart is in heaven. Our life is where Jesus is, and until he returns, we live a secret life that the world cannot recognize or understand. This is the crucifixion with Christ. He has severed the ties to the life that we previously knew, and now our true life is hidden away in God in Christ, Colossians 3:3. It's pretty. It's just so prophetic. I love it. It takes Moriah experience of the bitter water to bring us to Elm to encounter Jesus, his refreshment, what he's going to provide for us. Under these swaying palms, we become God's mighty ones, his strong ones who have borrowed strength from him. "Come worship wonderful Yahweh, arrayed in his splendor, bowing in worship as he appears in all his holy beauty." Psalm 29, verse 2. The Israelites' hearts had begun to embrace this. They started to understand God's glory cloud as they traveled with it. This same cloud of provision is there for us today. We have to look for it. We have to be in awe of God to see it. Let's picture his cloud over ourselves today, how God is with you wherever you go. Shortly after the whole company of Israel moved out of Elm, they quickly forgot how their heavenly provider began giving them everything they had needed, to now they're complaining because they don't have anything. Moses and Aaron are there in the wilderness with them, and the Israelites say to Moses, "Why didn't God just let us die in comfort in Egypt, where we had lamb stew and all the bread we could eat? You've brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel." They'd been on the road for only a month, you guys, and they quickly went from singing to complaining. Their supply of food was running out, and they did not have enough food to sustain them in the wilderness. They were getting, fear was building, starvation was being anticipated. This was becoming their reality. How many times has this happened to us? Israel selectively remembered the past and thought of it as a good time in Egypt. They had forgotten about the whips and the chains and the slavery. No, they lost sight of God's future for them, and they twisted their path of their past to support their complaining. This is pretty common, don't you think? Deception claimed their heart. The meat pots and the bread they were all used to eating began to diminish in their mind because the Lord's servants, Aaron and Moses, were now becoming their enemy. It's easy to pretend the past was bright when we find fault in the future. The faithfulness of these people, they had no faith during this, and they had forgotten what God had provided to them previously. And the evil within their hearts began to rise. They insisted that Moses and Aaron had bad or evil intentions for them. It's clear that a dissatisfied heart can really grumble against God himself. This becomes known as an open door to our enemy. So, of course, Aaron and Moses had no interest in killing any of the Israelites. They were trying to be obedient to God. This was a terrible and shameful accusation. Yet a complaining heart often finds it easy to accuse the people they complain against of their own worst motives. Have you ever noticed that? But God knew their hearts, and he was leading them in every way by proving them. His testing would reveal the inherent corruption of their nature, and at the same time show them his way and his own faithfulness. It reminds me of a dream I had. And the Lord had told me the baker was coming. And I spent one night, I'm not kidding you, baking bread all night, kneading bread. And this is the proving part in my wilderness. I just love it. Once I got through it, I didn't really understand, why did I have to bake bread all night? I even wrote on my blog, you know, I'm a baker, so I guess I'm supposed to be baking. But Jesus was there. So God will prove us. He tests us to reveal the corruption within us. And I had weird analogies of God that did not match up with God. So God had to show them to me. That's what he did when he was proving me. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you that I may prove them. Exodus 16. It is not difficult for us to get blessings from God at all, right? God will continue to bless his people, but he wants to test us and prove us whether or not we can qualify for his promised land. There are many who experience the blessings of God who will continue to reject any attempt of the Lord to try them and prove them. That's why I was stuck for so many years. I knew God, I loved Jesus, but I just refused to step over the threshold and enter my wilderness. In my last podcast, I said there were 8 wildernesses and I did them in 3 years. I did them several wildernesses in 3 years times. There were different ones. And I have to tell you, each one was 3.5 years if I look back clearly. So I wanted to clarify that. You're not going to go through all 8 wildernesses in 3.5 years. I don't think so. I mean, maybe you are, but I just wanted to clarify that. So the tests are required of the people to qualify us for our promised land. So our fighting against the test just keeps us stuck, keeps us on that merry-go-round. Same problem, same trouble, same, all the things that we dislike about ourselves, they keep bubbling up, right? Well, I had a dream. It was early morning, right before waking up, and I saw 2 massive train cars floating down from heaven. The first one was coming directly at me. Just as I was about to jump out of the way, it turned so I could read the side panel of this train car. Huge letters, red letters, wonder, and bold letters drifted right by me, missed me completely. And right after it came down, here comes the second train car. It's coming at me too, and I'm getting ready to jump out of the way, and it turns, and it has joy, big, bold letters, red letters. And then I woke up. This dream, it was neat. But I had no idea what it meant. This was the message of God. This was the wonder bread or manna that he was about to give me. He was going to start feeding me every day, just like the Israelites. If we seek God in thankfulness in our wilderness, he will find more than enough grace within us to move us forward through these trials, and we become confident that God is working. Right here, I want to emphasize that this miraculous bread from heaven, this food that's called the corn of heaven or angel food in Exodus, it became known to me in my wilderness as heaven's wonder bread. Every time you gave me some small crumb, I was like, Lord, is this your wonder bread? The Lord will always show you where to go and what to do, filling you with refreshment when you are dry and in a difficult place. We serve such a gracious God. He wants you to succeed. He will continually restore your strength. You will flourish like a well-watered garden, even in the wilderness. Isaiah 58:11. God supplies not only to our spirit, soul, and body, but He comes alongside us to reveal the desires of our heart that do not align or come, they fall short of His plans for us. His wonder bread, manna, reveals truth to our innermost thoughts, emotions, desires of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. We have situations where we encounter major wake-up calls, and God wants us to realize we need to readjust our spiritual lens. It's out of focus. When we meet a difficult or a test, it's not a sign of God's disapproval for you. No, it's an opportunity to taste God's victory in your life. The world wants to tell you you're a screw up, you're not chosen, you're unworthy. God's saying the opposite. God designed in the midst of our wilderness, this is where you're going to meet God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Israelites. Not the God that our world has made up or you've made up in your mind, but the God that strikes your heart wide open. This becomes your harpazo, a true encounter with our amazing God and His Son Jesus. God designed it this way. For God must deal with the undisciplined desires of His people. Instead of us trying to get something from God, He prepares us for a life in the Spirit with Him. This is a life of setting your heart to hear. Hear with your heart, not your ears, not your brain, but your heart. See, a corrupted heart cannot hear God's voice. So this is what He's doing in the wilderness. Paul's epistle in the first half of Romans 8 is all about the Holy Spirit's work in the life of a Christian. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times in the first 27 verses. This is the only way a believer can live out the life to which God has called them to. No one can live the Christian life on their own strength. The only person who ever could do this was Jesus Christ Himself. The only way that you and I can live the Christian life is by the power of God's Spirit, which He has put within us in order to reproduce the life of Christ within us. The Holy Spirit is described as, in verse 2, the Spirit of life. And then in Spirit, it's talking in verse 4, according to the Spirit. Our mind is to be set on the things of the Spirit, verse 5. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. And both Father and Son have sent the Spirit, verse 9. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and this Spirit dwells in you to recreate the life of Christ, verse 11. It is by the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh, verse 13. Even our resisting temptations are put to sin to death is by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Spirit to pursue holiness, verse 14. You guys, it just goes on. I could keep going if you go to my blog. It's the Holy Spirit who testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, which is our adoption into the family of God, verse 23. It is the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us and prays for us according to our weaknesses, verse 26 and 27. If you haven't already read this chapter, read it. Read it over and over until it is sown into your spirit. Even in areas where we're not aware of our weaknesses, the Spirit of God intercedes. He knows. I don't have to tell you how amazing the Holy Spirit is and how He has impacted my life, but you and I need to strengthen our spirit every day, every single day. You will have to keep your spirit tender if you're going to be led by it. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8:16. The verse is talking about the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. I know everyone's afraid to talk about our spirit. I got a question today by a dear saint, and she said, why don't people believe we have a spirit? Because the spirit of enlightenment, that whole trend, it's scary to Christians. But you guys, you want to hear the voice of God? Get on your face and just beg God for it. That's how we get a witness. We need the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. The Israelites' manna was God's precious food, which could not be stored up. And if they tried to do it, it bred worms and stank. Yet there was always enough for every need, for God sent a fresh supply every morning. This goes for us. We seek the Lord every single day, you guys, in our devotion time. And eventually, you don't have to just, you're talking to God all day long. Once you practice hearing his voice, the Israelites simply had to gather it according to their need. And if some happened to gather more than they needed, then they shared it, which is what I'm doing today. This is our spiritual food. We gather it and we share it. I mean, if you're getting a witness to do what I'm doing, do it. There's no pride here, you guys. The Lord wants his voice heard. And you wouldn't be listening if you didn't feel the witness. God's anointing comes by God himself. It's not something I've done. God chose me to do this. He's chose you to do something too. In obedience, step up. Don't be afraid. And if it doesn't work out, then that's not what God had for you. Keep trying. Keep knocking on the doors. God will continue to discipline his people until they have learned to use what God has provided for their daily needs and to make the rest available to those who stand in need. If we pour into our other people in our life, God gives us more. Once the commitment is clear, you do what you can, not what you can't. I love this. The heart regulates the hands. We do what you can, not what you can't. You leave up the can'ts for God, right? The true disciple of the Lord must be prepared to forsake everything in order to be his disciple. And to do it gladly, not because there's some apostle, prophet, or structure requiring it. No. But because in the walk with the Lord, we pursue the land of fruitfulness. This is where we discover it. When we bless others, we are blessed. Every trial we face has within seeds of a wonderful victory. We might not see him at first, but we have to lean on Jesus in our wilderness, and the seeds will sprout and blossom, bearing the most pleasant fruit. And all of this to make Wonder Bread. Our wilderness is about proving us. Hebrews 12:2. What wilderness do you find yourself in today? Are you finding you're isolated, abandoned? Or does it seem like the days pass by and you're taking steps no closer to your destiny? Remember, a wilderness is a place you pass through on the way to God's heart. Finding God's heart means letting go of your projected heart, what you think is your heart. Let go and let God. Isn't that what they always say? Having faith that no matter where you go, God is truly there protecting you. Could it be that the hand of the Wonder Bread baker is upon you right now as you're listening, shaping you? If so, don't give up, you guys. Give God enough time to become your bread maker, to find your wonder bread and find victory. So I just want to say, I started a devotional page. Well, I started a long time ago, but the Lord is asking me to share it so that we can teach our hearts how to talk to God. He said, read this prayer to connect to God's, to his heart. And I'm just speaking it out to you guys. As you take a portion of your day to pray aloud, I encourage you to pray aloud, by the way, your heart will burn with your soul's desire to connect to God. Our prayers is God's way of drawing us into his heart. He knows that life-changing power is released when we spend time with Jesus. But when we speak things into our atmosphere, especially adoration, we're transformed. It may take a bit, but you will be transformed. The more we love God, the more we spend time with him, and the more time we spend in his word, our soul is transformed into his image and our spirit can arise. Hallelujah. I want to pray a blessing over you today, Lord. I just ask you to bless every person listening. And I just welcome all those new listeners to go back and listen. And listen with your heart, not with your mind. Let God's spirit speak to you. Because God is delivering his people. We've been in the wilderness, you guys, far too long. God wants us to find the exit, and the exit is transforming our hearts so that we can love each other, love people, and change the world. All the world problems is because we don't love each other enough. So I pray a blessing over you, and I'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.